And we're back to Macrowave Miles. I am live at the Freshest Studio with my co-host, DJ Livio G. Do what you do.
Wagwan, my brother. Wagwan. Wagwan.
Sound like you're ready to be in the islands right now.
That's right.
It's crazy. Last year around this time, well, maybe a week ago, I was just coming back from the island. So, you know, that's when I went on a cruise.
I remember your cruise.
I wish this year could have been the same.
You don't want to be on a cruise this year.
Not this year. This is a time where I don't want to be anywhere. I don't even want to leave New York right now. You know, I'm hearing stories of people traveling and they're stopping them at the border. Like, all right, time to test you right here.
Let me tell you something. You went at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
Going a little later?
I'll probably still be in the seat right now. I'll probably still be stuck in the seat.
I heard some things about
that. There was some horror stories. I've seen video of people just like, I'm going to jump off the boat. Fuck it. I'll just drown. I can't do this anymore.
Never mind, I'm 50 stories on this shit, right?
Miles away from everybody.
Wow.
But, you know, I pray to all those people who probably still stuck out in C and can't come back yet. You know,
hope there's still people out there.
I hope not. I really do hope not. You know,
folks that work on the cruise ship.
Oh, they're done. They're done. They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
You know, so praise out to those people. You know, it's interesting to see how 2020 is dismantling everything for everybody. Like, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what skills you got,
nobody was scared.
Nobody's safe this year. Nobody's safe. And if it haven't happened to you yet, you know, brace yourself. Yeah, it's coming.
Should I say scapeless?
Right.
Everybody's.
It is coming, you know. Yeah, like, you know me, I'm big on going to the movies and everything like that. So I'm always interested in seeing, you know, how things been panning out since the movie's been reopening and stuff like that. And people are going back. They are. But, they're quick to say, all right, this movie sold out. Nobody can come in this room no more.
Oh, I was about to ask you quick. That was a question I was about to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Is how is it in regards to social distancing when you're in the theaters? You know what I mean? Because let's face it, mm-hmm. You know, guy next to you is like a seat away.
Right. Well, not exactly. Because of social distancing, they have to space them out. So, like, earlier today, I went to go see the new Godfather. Well, not the new Godfather. It's the same Godfather from 30 years ago.
Okay.
But it was the re-edit of Godfather Part 3, called now The Godfather Coda, Death of Michael Corleone. And I sat right in the middle.
You should have named it Godfather Part Edit.
Right.
You know?
Edit 3.1.
Edit 3.1. That's what
he
should
have. Yeah, because it was basically the same movie. They just rearranged certain scenes and, you know, took out some scenes, but it's the same movie. It didn't change. Still found appreciation for it because, of course, I was just born when the movie came out, so it's nice to see it on the big screen. But, you know, I'm literally in the middle of the theater. And, you know, the closest people next to me is all the way down to the left. Another person all the way down to the right.
How is that possible? It's a movie theater. You know, so what they do, let, like, I mean, 25 people in to see a movie?
Yeah, literally. Like, if there's 65 seats, there may be only 25 people in there right now. Like, and so they're not making their money. Like, they're not filling those seats. You know, like, I legit, when I walked into the theater today, so it was a group, like, usually they had a group of, I guess they're a disabled kid, family.
Maybe it's the movie you went to see.
Huh? It could be the movie, because not everybody was going to go see Godfather. But it was pretty packed for a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it was packed with 25 people in the theater.
Compared to what I've been seeing before, going to the movies, it was pretty packed. Mm. Usually there's, like, two or three people in there. For Godfather, I was pretty shocked how many people were in there. Like, oh, now granted, it was nobody under the age of 25. In there, you know, or even under the age of 30, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was all, you know, the whole back row was just a group of handicapped, I don't want to call them handicapped, but, you know, disabled people, you know, and they were definitely making noise throughout the whole movie because, you know, not to make fun of anybody, but they're not all there, mm-hmm. So they don't realize, hey, you're supposed to be gotta be quiet in the movie, you know? So, you know, as the movie's going on, you got Al Pacino like, we need to pull me, you know, I'll throw it out and then pull me back in. The guy goes, in the back, like, come on, bruh. Like, come on, please. You know, you don't want to say nothing to nobody. Just like, everybody got to enjoy the movie. But the one thing I made it hard is when one of the disabled kids started coughing in the back. And you can literally feel the tension in the audience. Everybody was like, oh, shit. We got to drag this kid out.
What'd you do about your popcorn?
I started covering my popcorn and everything. I was like, hold on. You're not coughing on my food now. Hold on. You know? And, you know, so that, I will say, is a little nerve-wracking if you do want to go to the movies now. Is the fact that, you know, you got to... You gotta be on your P's and Q's the whole time. You can't just sit there and enjoy the movie. Somebody start coughing,
hey,
and start panicking.
Thank God for home theaters.
And, you know, and it's crazy because now home theaters may be where it's at. So, as we're saying, it looks like home theater is where it's going to be at for quite some time. Because HBO, Warner Brothers, I should say, just announced that its whole 2021 slate will be releasing on HBO Max at the same time they're releasing theaters, starting with Wonder Woman this month. So, the same time you see Wonder Woman on HBO Max, you can see it in theaters. You know, I'm going to test it out. I'm going to go to the movie theaters, watch the movie on my phone while I watch it on the big screen. And, and I'll let you guys know if it's for real or not.
Only you. Only you. Listen, I called this one about 10 years ago when
streaming became a thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Blockbuster came out with the whole streaming thing. I was like, yo, you know what? Theaters has got to make the change. I said the theaters, the studios got to make the change.
Right,
this is the waves, the future.
Right,
you know what I mean. I felt like yo, they should have done it back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were holding back technology.
Right,
and you cannot hold technology back.
Right,
and guess what? COVID forced their hands. You know what I'm saying?
But you know, there's some places that don't have great Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So DVDs and theaters still have a place in certain locations.
Well, let's face it. You know, I think what they were afraid of is just the fact that you know they would lose. The theaters.
Mm.
I don't think the theaters, the theatrical experience is something that you desire,
right.
Something that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's granted. Yeah, it may curtail some of their actual revenue that they do make from theaters.
Right.
Some of it might be lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I think there's an audience for theaters.
There is.
It's always going
to
be.
It will definitely always be. It's not the same feeling. Thing. It's not the same feeling.
You know.
Maybe I'm just an old relic here.
No, we're both relics. But it's a good date.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you're 18, 25, whatever, let's face it. You know what I'm saying? This is a perfect way to take a chick out.
Even more than a date, but it's a perfect reason to get out the house. You know what I mean? I could have stayed home and watched Godfather. The re-edit of Godfather drops on Blu-ray 3 days from now. Yeah, I could have just waited and watched it on Vudu if I wanted to.
No,
but
that shit was already available.
Yeah, the show was already available in general. There was a Godfather 3 in existence already. Yes,
exactly.
Yes, but what I'm saying, the experience of seeing it on the big screen, to see an original Al Pacino movie, not the recent Al Pacino straight to DVD movie that we've been getting, to see an original classic Al Pacino on a big screen.
Bro, I love you. You're a rare breed. Strange individual when it comes to this kind of shit.
all my filmmakers, my thespian actors, they know what I'm talking about here. There's some things you just got to experience on the big screen. You know what I mean? Now, granted, I do enjoy movies on my phone the same way I can enjoy a movie on the big screen. Especially if I got my headphones on so I can really hear the proper sound design. I'm fine. I'm good. But you can't replicate that
theater experience.
That theatrical experience. Yeah.
The smell of the popcorn.
Right.
The guy next to you, talking on his cell phone, pissing you off, all that good shit. You know what I mean? I get it.
And I'm really big on hearing the audience throughout a movie. Like, if I can't hear the audience, or at least feel the audience, it's different.
You know, this is where I agree the most with you about. I remember seeing Empire Strikes Back, and maybe it was just the fact that this is coming off of the first off the trilogy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And everybody was psyched.
Right.
And when every character made it onto the screen, everybody cheered.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Right.
You pops on the screen 20 minutes into the movie. Yeah.
It was a social engagement.
Yeah, it was.
That's the one thing I think the only reason why movie theaters would still be around, because you can't get that from home.
Yeah,
especially
if everybody's anticipating.
Right. Prime example. So recently I went to go see True to the Game. Based off the books by Terry Woods, which I said Terry McMillan. Terry is one of those urban drug. I fell in love with the drug dealer books.
Okay.
So I'm watching a movie and I'm thinking to myself, this is in Levittown too. So I'm just like, yo, nobody's gonna maybe come to see this movie. It's all the way in Levittown. Who the hell is coming all the way out here to see? I mean, granted, I went all the way out there to see the movie, but I'm like, who else? But black folks.
I'm from Queens.
Yeah, I'm coming from Queens, And eventually black folks started showing up and I was like, holy shit, black folks are still coming to the theaters. They're making all this, because it's the only theater playing it too. So it's like, oh shit, black folks will make their way to see this movie.
Wow.
And the audience, it made such a difference, because before everybody showed up, I was just by myself, and it was just like, all right, I guess I'm watching a movie, and then slowly the community starts showing up, and it changed the atmosphere a little bit. You know, it's not just you joining the movie now; the whole community is joining the movie. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's like, you know, the fact that Warner Brothers out here talking about, like, yeah, we're just gonna send Matrix 4 to your house, just like, that's not gonna be the same experience as seeing Matrix 4 with everybody else seeing Matrix 4 for the first time. You know what I mean?
But you know what? I think that the difference is, it's available if you want to go to the theater.
Right, yes, it is available if you
want to
go.
You know what I mean? If you want the theatrical experience, it's still there for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't want to be, you know, the lonely guy with your microwave popcorn at home, you don't have to be.
Right.
You can be lonely in the theater. Let's face it.
Right. The life with complete strangers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying, to me, that's what makes the movie experience real, you know, the social engagement of it all, you know, especially, you know, you have movies like Judas and the Black Messiah, which is basically the movie about Black Panthers, and you know, it's like, how can I just watch that movie at home? That's something you have to see with the community in general, you know, like, I don't know,
why is that?
Because it's a movie about the community, you gotta watch with the community, like, you just have to.
Which community?
The Black community.
What if you're white?
Well, most of the movie theaters I go to, unless it's like AMC, is usually dedicated to the Black community. Like, the one in Jamaica, you're not running to that many white folks in that movie theater on Jamaica.
Jamaica Avenue.
I'm telling you, I've been to that theater long enough.
Well, hey, listen, I used to go there back in the days when we used to watch 3 movies and spend our whole Sunday. You know what I mean?
That's me now with AMC. I go see 3 movies.
Yo, and there was a white person in there. Come to think of it.
Still to this day, you know. Unless I'm going to AMC, I it's usually black faces I'm seeing in the theaters I'm going to, you know. But, like, you know, when I went to go see Django, I even remember it was like, you know, we was like in a sports arena, you know, where anytime Django started fighting, you know, the way everybody started cheering, like, it was like, you know, that crowd, right, you know, that crowd, that participation, you know, everybody is in it together, enjoying it together. That's the one thing that will never, you know, go away.
I get it, bro.
So
I
right.
totally understand. Yeah, and that's how I felt. I was like, yo, you know what? They're holding back to technology.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is something, its time had come.
Right.
You know what I mean? But once again, hey, you can't stop certain things. And,
right.
And look at it. COVID forced their hand.
Right.
At least the first ones to do it.
Right.
The rest are going to follow.
Right.
The rest are going to follow.
They were eventually going to do this. They didn't believe it was going to be so soon.
They were just holding it back. We're talking about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 years.
Right.
They've been holding it back.
Right.
It's like the music industry holding back streaming and everything else that they held. You know, when they realized, yeah, we can't make a fucking dollar, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They let Apple take over.
Right. And now Spotify. Right.
And now Spotify.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what happened.
So it's only a matter of time before Disney joins the bandwagon and, like, all right, guys. You know, you, the next Avenger movie you watch on Disney Plus. You know, same thing for Sony and Spider-Man and the rest of these guys.
You know what? It took the fact that they didn't make any money for a whole entire season to wake them up.
You know what I think? We're really,
had this thing been in place, they wouldn't have skipped the beat.
Right.
In this COVID thing.
Right.
They would have been already in play.
Right. You know what I think? Must have at least gave them the push to, like, all right, you know what? Let's start streaming the stuff when they tried with Tenet this year. Tenet was a big blockbuster movie, and they realized, oh, we can't get that blockbuster money back in theaters right now. Okay, streaming is the way to go. You know, like, I'm a shareholder with Disney. I got me a few stock in Disney, and Disney already discussing streaming as the way to go for the future. They're like,
hello, 10 years ago, 10 years ago, Netflix came out.
Right.
You had the technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You could offer people the ability.
And we're back to Mac with Miles. So, you know, filmmakers are losing their mind because they're like, oh my God, there's no theatrical window, then how are we going to tell stories? And I'm just like, okay, you guys are thinking very small-minded right now if you think this is the end of storytelling. Because, you know, the way that...
You can see the look on my face. I'm like, yeah, you. Fuck you going with this right now? You know that, right?
Stories have evolved in the year 12... I don't even want to say 2020, but in these last few years, storytelling has evolved and reached into new places and new heights that we haven't seen before, you know? I'm thinking about The Godfather earlier, and I'm sitting here like, if The Godfather was done today, it would be a streaming series. It wouldn't work as a movie. The Godfather would not work as a movie today, but you put all those 9 hours together of the Godfather saga, you got yourself a binge-watchable series on Netflix and stuff.
Well, let's dial it back a little bit. You know, if you think in general, The first movie was made, you know, just...
Just itself, one-time story.
Exactly.
Right.
It's the success of it that lended to
two more. Yeah. But not, what I'm saying is that, the whole thing of watching a nine-hour movie is a norm now, where it wasn't a norm back then.
You can watch 9 hours of a movie.
You don't watch all of it at the same time, of course.
That's what you're
saying. I'm saying most of the stuff you watch now, that's these streaming shows, they're basically nine-hour movies. You know, they may have like intros in between, but they're usually a whole movie that just take 9 hours to go through the whole story. You know, and that's what I'm trying to say about the future of storytelling. You know, the idea of just trying to tell a story in 90 minutes is old-fashioned now. It's just like, you know.
So when you're writing 9 hours.
No,
you're writing in sequels.
It depends the story you're trying to tell.
Is that what you're telling me?
I'm talking about you don't have to put yourself in a box telling stories for the future now.
You better bang on one happening first before you go hatching your eggs or
I'm saying. So here's what I'm saying.
Start writing a whole goddamn novel.
Here's the thing.
I mean, a 3-part novel, and you don't even have one.
Depending on the platform, most of these, whether it's YouTube, Netflix, this and that, it's all about retention, audience retention right now. The longer we can keep you on this app, the better. You know, so
these, I agree.
You know, so these,
I agree with that part.
So these apps and, you know, these networks and studios that are now focusing on being, you know, streaming services and stuff are trying to figure out how do we keep people watching? How do we keep their attention on? You know, so a 9-hour programming will be one of those ways, or you have a story going on for 9 hours. But that's just one way. You know, we're talking visual arts here. You know, if you do VR, VR is a new thing right now that people are not tackling right now. Mm-hmm. You know, you do a whole story where you just keep the VR headset on the whole time, and you can be just lost in that world. We don't, you know, I've seen great examples of it, but it's not there yet. You know, or even AR technology, or augmented reality. Do you know what that is?
I heard the terminology. Can't.
So augmented reality. So basically, you look through your phone, and while you're looking through your phone, you're seeing a different reality, but it's what you're seeing with your regular eyes off the phone.
Let's stop for a second. I want reality. I don't want arguments. I don't want none of that shit. I want plain old simple reality. I don't want to have to imagine what the shit could be, where it's going.
You seen Iron Man? You seen when Iron Man's like doing his designs, and he have a hologram of his
stuff.
That
shit looks cool.
That's argument to reality.
That shit looks cool.
That's AR technology.
That's not my reality. You know what I'm saying? I want plain and simple. Listen, I went to the store and I bought something today, and this is what it is. I don't want to overextend myself to.
But some people though.
What if it was
some
this?
People? Some people are just tired of reality.
Yo, fuck that.
They want to see Chewbacca walk down the block.
I don't. I do not want to see Chewbacca on my block.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. You know, storytelling could go into a realm where people are now watching story unfold through AR technology. You know what I mean? You know, that, or even with podcasting. You know, they have immersive quote unquote podcast, which is a radio drama that's just now done for the new generation. You know, you know, back then it was just called radio dramas. Now they're immersive podcasts, but it's the same shit. It's just you're telling a story. You got sound effects. You got actors, same dialogue. You know, still a radio drama, but it's done for today. You know, even if you don't want to do something scripted, you got they got investigative podcasts now, which is basically a documentary in podcast form. You know, one I was listening to recently was it was called Running from Cops, and the behind the scenes of the show Cops and how they fucked over so many people on that show. You know, they arrested people that they know wasn't guilty or anything, but they needed good content, so they're like, all right, you know, we'll let you go if you sign this release form. You know, dumb shit like that.
Welcome to Cops.
So what?
Welcome to Cops.
Well, yeah, basically, and that show's off the air now.
Welcome to law enforcement.
Right. Law enforcement and show business.
Exactly. They arrest folks all the time.
Right. You know, but
and figure it out later. Not that.
We can't do this.
Yeah.
We can't lock him up because he didn't want to sign a release for him. That's messed up. But you know, I didn't know about that until I heard the documentary on a podcast format. You know what I mean? So you know, I'm looking at the future of storytelling. I'm just like, you know, if you have a story to tell, there are ways to tell stories. You don't have to rely on making a movie. You know, you don't have to rely on doing a novel. You know, comic book, video game. You know, there's so many different ways in 2020, especially, to tell stories.
All right. So how do I tell a story that's not one of those conventional ways you just explained?
I just told you. You can do one through an immersive podcast, radio drama, where you can tell, have the story being told through audio form. You know, you can even do sketches or short little, I've seen stories being told in 5 seconds when Vine was a thing. Like, people were doing full-blown productions in 5 seconds, and it gives you a whole story. Like, this one, I'll never forget this one. So there was a family, right? So the car, you know how the back of a car has, like, you know, like the family, it's a family on board, and you have like the stick figures of all the family members in, on the back of the car. You ever seen those things?
No.
You never seen those things where there's like baby on board or something like that on the back of somebody's car?
I've seen baby on board.
Right. But you never seen the one with the family?
No.
So they have ones where it's a family. So you see a mom, son, daughter, this, dad, or whatever. And somebody did a short film where it was a close-up of the car, of the back of the car with the family. Then somebody takes off one family member off, and the camera pulls back, and then you see it's a whole family dressed in black, and then you realize they just came from a funeral. And like, they did a whole story in 5 seconds where you saw there was a loss of a family member, and they had to accept that the loss of the family is there. Like, there's ways to tell stories without needing a full-blown 90-minute production to tell stories now.
Those niggas need a fucking movie.
Yeah, if you can tell a story in 5 seconds, I trust you can tell a story in 90 minutes, you know? But, you know, it made me realize, like, you know, you don't have to rely on the old-school way of just telling stories anymore. You know, whether, you know, you want to write a novel, go ahead and write a novel. You know, you want to do comics, go ahead and do comics. But, you know, if you just want to be investigative journalist, you know, you don't have to get signed by 60 Minutes to tell you that story. Go ahead and start an investigative podcast so you can tell that same story. You know, if you want to do a play, but you can't do a show right now because it's COVID, get that cast together and do a whole play on Zoom and then, put out the recording on the podcast. You know what I mean? You know, you want to do some stuff in virtual reality? Virtual reality?
I agree and disagree. I mean, some of this stuff requires budget.
They do require budget. I didn't say they didn't have a budget. That's not the word I use. I said, if you want to try a different you want to find a different form of storytelling, it exists. I never said budget. That's a whole other conversation in itself.
That's why you got 60 minutes.
That's a whole other conversation in itself.
Source and, you know what I'm saying, and investigate the shit and tell the story correctly.
Right, you know.
Try doing that shit on your own podcast. You feel me? Try doing that shit.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, there's ways to tell stories these days, and, you know, if you are a filmmaker and you want to make movies, expand your horizon. Don't be an old relic anymore. Telling a story in 90 minutes is old fashioned at this point, you know, especially with the way consumers consume content now. You can find different ways to tell stories. You gotta be creative.
You know, Quibi?
Quibi? Oh, yeah, now they gone.
Hey! That's a very good.
And we're back to Macklemore Miles. So, we're discussing the rise and fall of Quibi, one of the quickest streaming services to come and go in this new entertainment landscape. You know,
true indeed.
It came out, what, March, April this year?
It's March.
And before the year is even over.
No,
it's gone.
By July, it was gone.
Yeah, no, it officially went out this week. Like, before, I was still watching Quibi.
Oh, well, they already pulled the plug.
Yeah, but they pulled the plug by the summertime, but just this week, they officially turned off the servers.
They turned the servers off.
You can't even get on the app no more.
Okay.
And which, it was sad because I was just enjoying one of their shows on there. It was like the show, but you know the new type of programming where it's like the story's being told, but it's on the smartphone the whole time? So, like, you see the text messages and, you know, the response, and then person go on live and talk face-to-face.
All that was involved in it.
Yeah, you know. Okay. And so
it had an immersive experience.
Yeah, it was a great experience. So, like, you flip your phone, you're watching it from the character's phone, but then you turn it sideways, you see it from the movie camera point of view.
No, I understood that part of it, yeah.
It was amazing. It was amazing, yeah. You know. But not all the programming was like that, though. Only selected programmers were like
some
that.
Some of the programming
right.
was like that.
Which were they made a mistake. All of it should have been like that. And I think probably would work better if everything worked that way. But the one thing I did enjoy about Quibi was the idea of telling a story that would have been a 90-minute movie and just breaking it down into parts and making a show out of it where every day you got to come back and watch the rest. You know, something I feel like indie filmmakers can do today is just, you know, if you're trying to build a brand, trying to build an audience, you know, you got a movie you want to do, but you really can't really rent a theater or show a movie, just make it to a web series. Cut it down into parts. Release every episode, you know, small by small. And, you know, and just instead of doing sequels, it's just seasons. Like, all right, this is the first season, you know, even though that's just one movie cut up a piece.
Now, from my understanding, that, because I never saw an episode of anything from it, you know what I'm saying? Now, everything was geared for a quick bite. So it was like, how long were they?
Like at least 6 to 10 minutes.
6 to 10 minutes.
Right, depending on the show itself. Like the Kevin Hart show, I think every episode was 10 minutes long. You know,
and Kevin Hart was doing
It was a movie, but it was cut down into pieces.
So once you got one piece of it, you watched it, you could come back and watch the next story, such and such. Okay, it sounds like they were onto something.
I think what they messed up was the platform. They have to educate people on this platform instead of putting it on another platform people already are, you know, known and used to, like a Netflix or a YouTube or this or that.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I did see something somewhere where it's, what's his name again?
Jeffrey
Katzenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like he blamed the whole thing on COVID.
Right, which is not, it can't work that way.
You know what I'm saying? He blamed it on COVID.
COVID would at least help you if that's the case, in my opinion. Because everybody else is doing great.
Well, no, he was saying that the whole point of it was planned for traveling.
Right.
It was planned for, you know, people who were commuting.
Right.
And the fact that they weren't commuting for those first 3 months or first 4 months,
mm-hmm.
The revenue from subscriptions really didn't happen. I think their projections were, don't quote me, like 7 million or something. They only did like 700,000 or something, or a couple hundred thousand, such, you know what I'm saying, subscribers. And
the biggest problem they had was only mobile only. So at the beginning, you
can't. I think that might have contributed a lot to it. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that they didn't have it on any other platform besides just mobile.
Right.
Maybe they should have, you know, because they had the power. They had money.
Right. Could have been on Apple TV. Could have been on
Serious backing. And
right. Could have been on Apple, Amazon Fire, you know.
If nothing else, I know they marketed the shit out of that shit.
Oh, yeah. People knew of it, you know.
I certainly did. But then again, you know, you can't gauge some things sometimes, you know, certain things sometimes by your own perspective of it.
Right.
You know, you got to take the layman person, you know what I'm saying? You know, there's a lot of people probably who never
had clue.
They didn't have a fucking clue what the hell it was.
Right, what the hell
was
Quibi?
Right. Matter of fact, your brother, I had to explain it to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, this is what it was. We had a discussion and he's like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck it was. And they never explained it to me.
Right.
I said it was there.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
everybody had access to it, but
yeah, it never conveys to everybody. Right. Such until it's like really, really mainstream.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, he might have a point.
Right. I think it was just the platform itself, because one good example was Snapchat does their own original series now. Mm-hmm. Where they're Snapchat originals. You know, Will Smith got a show on there now called Will From Home. You know, Kevin Hart.
Dial it back. Snapchat,
yes.
Has original series.
This is the way of the future. Everybody's doing this. Mm-hmm. Even Tinder is having their own original series now, where you can watch a Tinder show on Tinder. You know, branded content is the way of the future. There's going to be a time where nobody's pitching to studios or TV networks. Only going to be brands at one point, where you're just going to be pitching your shows to brands. Because why would brands pay $1 million to be just one product placement or something?
Fans only?
Yeah. That'd be an OnlyFans, you know?
No, fans only? We're going to flip it.
But it's like, why would they want to just be the one product placement out of 100 where they can be just the main product placement for the whole production? You know what I mean? Like Uncle Drew, what I told you about. With Pepsi. Pepsi did that whole Uncle Drew movie. All you see in that whole movie is Pepsi products. The whole movie. Mm-hmm. Gatorade in the background. Pepsi in the background. If it's not a Pepsi brand, you're not seeing it in that movie at all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's going to be the way of the future with all these other brands. But what I was trying to say with Snapchat, they had a show called Dead of the Night. It was like a zombie show. One of the Dawn of the Dead style series or whatever. And every episode, every day, I wanted to go back and see the next episode because it was just so
captivating. Fans only!
But it works. It works, you know. You know, but you know, it was the platform because they catered to the audience that's on Snapchat already. So like, all right, we're gonna make it work specifically for people who's on Snapchat, for people who like already on Snapchat on daily. Here's a show for you, and you know, different genre because they got different shows, like the mysteries, drama, romance, or whatever. That one is what caught my attention. But it worked completely. So I'm saying, you know, in the future, we're going to see more of that, where there's branded content and, you know, whatever app you're on, is you're seeing that type of content. You know, back in the day, you know, when you went to see a Warner Brothers movie, it was a Warner Brothers movie. You know, you want to go see a Disney movie, it was a Disney movie. And I'm talking about the era when these guys were still alive and still running the studio. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's where content is going to be going now, with branded content. You know, you're going to be watching Chipotle shows. You're going to watch a McDonald's show.
Oh, that's fucked up.
It's the way of the future. I'm telling you, I already see it happening. You know, you're going to see a Popeye show. You know, that every, you know, brand will have their own content.
I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm fucked up.
I'm telling you.
I do not want to see McDonald's show.
They already had a cartoon show in the past. They sold it on VHS. Now it's probably going to be on streaming service or whatever McDonald's app is.
Who watched it?
What, the cartoon? I definitely bought a couple of cassettes when I was a child.
I'm not fucking with you. Once again, I'm not fucking with you.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a way of the future. Watch. Canada Dry is going to have a whole series one day soon. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Jose Cuervo right now have a show called Who's Making Margaritas. And every episode is a different personality making margaritas. One episode might be T-Pain. Another episode might be Lil Dicky. You know, and the episode is just them learning how to make margaritas. That's it. That's their show. And that's going to be, that's all we're going
to
see soon.
Okay. I have to digress because I, as a consumer,
mm-hmm.
you know, how can you, you know, so now we're going to be segmented into fragments to brands, every single fucking brand that is.
Mm-hmm.
How much can you, you know, consume just, you know, from consumer?
What, branded content?
Yeah.
Branded content out right now. There's tons of branded content that people are watching. It's just depending on what's your demographic, what's your niche. You know, if you're fit a perfect specific niche, you're in there already. You're not gonna stray away from that. Like Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew was a movie like.
It's like a couple years. It's like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but
it's more than that.
Isn't it? It was 2018. It's 2020 now. That's 2 years ago.
Nah.
It was 2018 when that movie came out.
It's gotta be older.
Nah, I went to theaters to see it. But anyways, you know, that's one example of, you know, branded content on a grand scale. That's grand scale branded content. You know, big ass movie, promotional, you know, P&A budget and everything. Now, if we're talking about just social media and stuff like that, you know, I said Jose Cuervo is one example, you know. But I remember, what's that cat brand, Perific, something like Persina or whatever? I forgot the name, but they have a cat show now online where it's just dedicated to cats.
Oh, Purina.
Yeah, Purina, there we go. You know, but this is not nothing new, because when Procter & Gamble started off doing soap operas, that's what they were doing. They were, you know, literally soap operas came because they were trying to sell soap. That's literally where it came from. Literally. You know, so all they're doing is going back to what
I'm not old enough to understand that part.
One of the first things I learned about advertising was that, you know, back in the day, TV shows were sponsoring,
they sponsored.
Yeah, they sponsored.
Creating content and
but that's the thing, instead of just being a sponsor, they'll make more money being the content creator and provider. That, you know, they hire their own producers, they hire their own writers, they hire their own talent on camera, you know, because that way they don't need a middleman no more. They're like, why do we need the middleman? We can just produce the content ourselves, you know. And it's working for some brands. You know, some brands no longer need to hire a Jessica Simpson or a Jennifer Aniston.
I don't know.
To do a 30-second commercial. You know, instead of a 30-second commercial, they have
make a whole production.
Make a whole 22-minute show, and promote whatever they want to promote.
A show about Popeye's chicken.
It wouldn't be about Popeye's chicken. It'd just be, you know, Popeye's chicken just surrounded by it. Prime example, another one I just saw recently. It was a Grey Goose production, and it was just Jamie Foxx interviewing different actors. That's all it was. But it was a Grey Goose production. So all in the background, nothing but Grey Goose. In front of Jamie Foxx and Denzel Washington, Grey Goose. The show wasn't about Grey Goose, but you knew it was Grey Goose.
I get where you're coming at, but that's just product placement.
It is product placement, it's but I'm telling placement. You, that's going to be the way of the future. Because brands are not going to want to spend millions of dollars, you know, to be sitting next to Victoria's Secret and Tom Ford and you're squeezed in the middle. They want to be the whole show. You know, because, you know, getting people's eyeballs are everywhere now. You're not just sitting in front of TV no more. They're not going to just the movies anymore. Some people are on Snapchat. Some people are on Instagram. Some people are on YouTube. Some people are on Facebook. You know,
but some things are best left where it's, you know what, it's there, but it's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need every scene to see a bucket of Popeye's chicken in my fucking presentation. You know what I mean? It's subtle enough. Okay, I get the point. It caught me.
Yeah, but you would if like prime example, comedians getting coffee. The Seinfeld show. Have you seen that show? They have one specific coffee brand that promotes the whole show. The whole show. But they don't ever sit here and go like, "Hey, make sure you drink so-and-so coffee."
But once again, we're talking about something that was subliminal.
It's not subliminal because it's in there.
No,
you see the logo.
No, it's subliminal. It's subliminal because it's there,
mm-hmm.
but it's you are not being told this is it. Every time they go to commercial, they don't go to that coffee, right?
No, the commercial is the show. While the guys are literally going to get the coffee, the whole show is called "Comedians Getting Coffee." is them going to go get the coffee.
Oh, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You never seen it?
Nah.
It started off on Crackle, now it's on Netflix and stuff like that. But it's just Jerry Seinfeld picking up like an Eddie Murphy or Kevin Hart, and they're talking about cars and being a comedian, and they go get coffee, and they continue talking over coffee.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you know, they have a Pacific Coffee brand.
Pacific Coffee brand.
I can't pronounce it. Like,
they're not doing a good job.
No. I see the name all the time. I'll just destroy the name, try to repeat it. Like, something Ziz. If they got a bunch of Z's at the end. Like, I can see the logo in my mind, but I'm like, it's like Lavaz, Lavataz, or something, Lazaz. Something in that,
Christ,
you know, something in that with that lay feel. But, you know, it's the way of the future. Branded content is the way of the future. That's what I'm saying.
I don't disagree with it being, you know, part of the future. But I cannot see, like I said, you know, actual shows being dedicated to, you know.
It won't be dedicated. It'll just be provided by.
Well, what's the difference then? Did you ever watch Soul Train?
Yeah, I did watch Soul Train.
You watched, well...
I seen the reruns. Reruns.
You weren't around for the
original. Not the originals, no.
Johnson & Johnson products. The right.
I seen videos, though. Like, I saw one video where Frederick Douglass would show up.
That was the original of what we're talking about right now. You know what I'm saying?
Frederick Douglass show up with some Afro sheen.
Every single, yeah.
Right.
Every time you went to commercials, boom, Blake.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, back then, they would have to cut the commercial, where now the programming is the commercial. You don't have to cut to the commercial, because you're already in the commercial. So instead of cutting to Frederick Douglass knocking on somebody's door with some Afro sheen, Frederick Douglass is on the Soul Train line with the Afro sheen.
I'm turning my TV off. I'm sorry, bro. I'm turning my TV off. When it gets like that, I'm not fucking with this scripted shit. Yo, give me some fucking regular content.
They do that now with reality TV. I don't remember, there was some reality TV show that I was dealing with this girl at the time. I forgot what show it was. One of them Bravo series or whatever. But these girls in the show went to go see a movie, which was The Hustle with Anne Hathaway and Rita Wilson, whatever her name. I think it's Rita Wilson. But in the show, reality show, they went to go see the movie, The Hustle. And I'm sitting here like, they're not going to see a movie. This is a commercial for the movie The Hustle. And then literally after the episode, not before even when they went up to commercial, it went into the commercial of The Hustle. So I'm like, that was just branded content we just watched. That's because that was not part of this. They literally had nothing to do with the episode plot at all. Just randomly, hey guys, we're going to the movies right now. Hey, what do you want to go see? Hey, you heard about that new Anne Hathaway movie? I'm like, okay, guys, this is clearly a commercial. Clearly a commercial. But the girl who was watching it, nothing to it. It went right over her head that was a commercial. It was just part of the reality show.
Hopefully the same will happen for me. If it doesn't, I'm turning the shit off. Realize I'm watching the commercial, which is the movie, is the commercial.
Right.
I'm done. Literally.
Right. Go. All right, y'all. That was this episode of Black and White Miles. I want to thank my co-host of this evening, DJ Olivio G. Thank you for being with me today.
Oh, thank you, Miles. Thank you for having me. It was fun, as usual.
And to all my storytellers out there, just remember, just because technology is changing the way consumers are consuming content, does not mean you can't tell the stories you want to create. You just got to be creative and figure out the new mediums. That's it. Until next time, much love, God bless, two pieces of chicken grease. We'll see you later. Night.
Peace.